Hello, Teddy Johnson here.
Ah, Teddy, this is Robin Boyle.
Hi, Robin.
Hello. Look, Teddy, we're ready to start the programme, and we appear to have lost Harry Worth. Look, could you knock on your party wall and see if he's still at home?
But he left in a taxi half an hour ago. Pearl and I watched the whole production.
Production?
Yes, it's a regular weekly epic. He gets in the taxi with his briefcase, circles the block, comes back to check he hasn't left the door open, drives off again, remembers he's forgotten his script, comes back, can't find his keys, climbs in through a window, comes out looking worried, finds his script in his briefcase, drives off, and leaves the front door open.
And he does all that every week?
Without fail. If we can only write a tune to it, we've got the first act of a musical.
Look, he only lives 5 minutes away. If he left half an hour ago, why are we still waiting for him?
Ah, because you've not allowed for him forgetting where he's going. Now, if you allow 10 minutes for that, and another 3 for him running after the taxi to get his briefcase off the back seat, I reckon he should be walking in any second.
Oh, dear. Well, thank you very much, Teddy, for your incredible reassurance. Ladies and gentlemen, join us, if you will, for a journey into the unknown as we encounter the unlikely, the unexpected, the entirely unpredictable in half an hour with Harry Worth.
How do you do? Thank you for applauding. Did you mean it? Was it just bravado? Now, before we go any further, I think I must confess I have done a very silly thing. I've said yes to Mrs. Lockley. I knew right away it was stupid of me because I remember saying to myself, Harry, don't be a fool, you idiot. Well, unfortunately, Mrs. Lockley meant business. I could tell she was very determined the way she knocked on my door and bent the hinges. I said, well, what can I do for you, madam? She said, I'm desperate for a babysitter and I won't take no for an answer. I said, thanks for the warning. What's the question? Well, I had to box clever because I've only babysat once before and inside 2 minutes the baby was sitting on me. It was a very moving experience. Unfortunately, I didn't move fast enough. You see, I distinctly remember the mother saying, if the baby starts to cry, all you need is a teaspoonful of gripe water. But it didn't work. It was still howling its head off, and I drank nearly half the bottle. Now, to be honest with you, see, what's bothering me? I might suddenly have to change a nappy. Well, the last time I had any experience with those things, I was still wearing them. Well, I can't be expected to remember that. After all, I was only 12. If I could just get some practical advice. I wonder if our musical director could help me. Mr. Alderson.
Yes, Mr. Worth.
You're a married man, aren't you?
Yes, but don't let it throw you. I was round-shouldered when I was single.
Mr. Alderson, is it not enough that we let you stand in front of the orchestra? Now, just tell me this. Have you had any children in your family?
No, I'm afraid I've not.
Oh, you've not?
We've 3 boys and a girl, but up to now the wife's had them all.
Mr. Boyle?
Did you want something, Mr. Worth?
Yes, I'd like you now and a new band next week.
What's the trouble?
Well, I've got this problem. I've said yes to Mrs. Lockley.
Yes, and doesn't her husband mind?
Her husband isn't the problem.
All right, what is your problem? I'm sure I can help.
Well, cutting a long story short, which is a very good thing, because it didn't go very well the first time. You see, I promised a babysit for Mrs. Lockley.
Good. I can't think anybody's got a problem there. Unless it's the baby. Well, if the child does wake up, you keep it amused, you pull funny faces at it.
No, I tried that once before, for a little boy of 3. Mm. He was still saying, that's enough, half an hour after I've finished pulling them.
If you're really worried, Mr. Worth, why not ring the lady up and you tell her the truth? Say you're apprehensive about the responsibility.
That's a splendid idea. Apprehensive about the responsibilities.
She can't argue with that, you
well,
see.
Well, if she does, I'm sunk. I don't know what it means. All right, I'll ring her right away.
Yeah. But now that I think about it, I can't understand Mrs. Lockley asking you to mind her baby in the first place.
No, it's very odd. She is devoted to it. Hello, Mrs. Lockley. This is Harry Worth. No, Harry Worth, you remember. You asked me to come and sit on your baby. Well, I've been giving it a little thought. Yes, you see, well, babies are things I know so little about. It seems ages since I was one. Pardon? Just a moment. Mr. Boyle, she says I promise.
Yeah, ask her if it's a little boy or a little girl.
Good idea. Mrs. Lockley, this baby of yours, is it a boy or a girl or what?
Tell her you're apprehensive about the responsibility.
Yeah. Mrs. Lockley, I'm reprehensible about the probability. Well, you see, Mr. Boyle will tell you I know nothing about babies. No, I honestly don't think I ought to. Mr. Boyle knows, and he is an authority. Yes, I'm sure you're doing the right thing. Goodbye. Well, that's settled that.
Is she satisfied?
She's delighted. She wants you to be there at 8 o'clock.
Mr. Worth, I can't go babysitting.
Of course you can. You've got a gramophone. You played a few record requests.
No.
You know the sort of thing? For Jeremy Lockley, at the request of his mother, here's Teddy Johnson to sing Rock-a-bye a baby with a cup of Rosalie. Now, there's a coincidence for you, and I bet you're glad. Here's Teddy Johnson.
Chim-chiminy, chim-chiminy, chim-chim-cheree. A sweep is as lucky can be. Chim-chiminy, chim-chiminy, chim-chim-cheroo. Good luck will rub off when I shake hands with you. Oh, blow me a kiss, and that's lucky too. Now as the ladder as life has been strung, you may think a sweep's on the bottom most rung. Though I spends me time in the ashes and smoke, in this old wide world there's no Abby a bloke. Chim-chiminy, chim-chiminy, chim-chim-cheree. A sweep is as lucky can be. Chim-chiminy, chim-chiminy, chim-chim-cheroo. Good luck will rub off when I shake hands with you. Oh, blow me a kiss, and that's lucky too. Now I choose me Brussels with pride, yes I do. A broom for the shaft and a brush for the flue. Though I'm covered with soot from me head to me toes, a sweep knows he's welcome wherever he goes. Chim-chiminy, chim-chiminy, chim-chim-cheree. A sweep is as lucky can be. Chim-chiminy, chim-chiminy, chim-chim-cheroo. Good luck will rub off when I shake hands with you. Oh, blow me a kiss, and that's lucky too. The smoke is all billowed and curled, twin pavement and stars, it's the chimney sweep world. When there's hardly no day and there's hardly no night, there's things half in shadow and halfway in light. On the rooftops of London, what a sight. Chim-chiminy, chim-chiminy, chim-chim-cheree. When you're with a sweep, you're in glad company. Nowhere is there a more happier crew than them what sings chim-chim-cheree, chim-cheroo. Chim-chiminy, chim-chim, cheree, chim-cheroo.
Thank you, Teddy.
Yes, thank you, Teddy. You know, Mr. Boyle, we can't go saying thank you to Teddy like this every week.
Right.
We shall have to start paying him.
Oh, you really think so?
Oh, yeah, this idea of paying Pearl and hoping she'll bring Teddy along for someone to talk to. No. It's not right.
Well, of course, being their neighbour, I suppose you get to know all that goes on.
Well, Pearl usually gives me all the gossip. She's awfully good, you know. She lets me have a cup full of sugar, a cup full of flour, or a saucer full of currants.
Yes, she never complains.
Never. She comes round every Monday morning to collect a tea service, and off we go again.
Lounge, honey.
I thought you were coming to help me with a... Oh, Teddy, you're not practicing your golf shots again on the lounge carpet.
Don't worry, I'm only putting.
You're only putting marks all over it, that's all. Is it necessary to keep knocking that golf ball into that upturned flower vase and pretending to be Arnold Palmer?
It's in a very good cause, Pearl. When I get on the course this afternoon, I'm hoping to break 90.
If you break that flower vase, you'll feel 90.
It's Harry for a pound.
It's Harry for something.
Ah, hello, Polo. I'm afraid I'm on the borrow again. Is Teddy in?
Certainly, you can borrow him with pleasure. Go through into the lounge, Harry.
Come in, Harry, and close the door.
Ah, thank you. Teddy, shouldn't you take that carpet up before you beat it?
Won't be a second, Harry. I'm just holding this putt.
Oh, I see.
Gently back. If Gary Player saw this, he'd be aghast.
See what you mean? Was that his vase?
No, it wasn't.
This is probably a very silly question, but if you didn't mean to break the vase, why are you brandishing that stick?
I'll explain, Harry. Mm. I was simulating the green, and having positioned a suitable receptacle, I was gauging my putt in an attempt to hole out.
Yeah. Well, it's what I've always said. Ask a silly question, you get a silly answer.
It's not silly, Harry, it's serious. You play this game?
No, I've seen it on television. Now, what is it you want to know?
Now, let's get this quite clear, Harry. I've been knocking a ball around a golf course 3 times a week since I was 16.
Ah, well, that is where you've been going wrong. You see, every so often, you're supposed to knock it down a little hole.
You astound me.
Oh, I can understand how you miss them. Tell me now, this is just out of curiosity. How many strokes did it take you to break that vase?
I wasn't trying to break the vase.
Ah, just lucky, eh? Well, now... Do you know, Teddy, I would like to be able to play golf. Do you think you could teach me?
Listen, Harry, I was just about to leave for the golf course when you arrived. Would you like to come up with me?
Well, it would be a start, getting the feel of the clubs, I mean.
Well, you can start now, Harry. They're all in this bag. Sling it over your shoulders. What did we do wrong, Harry?
We put the bag on upside down, Teddy.
Well, we'll have to put the clubs back in again, won't we?
I thought it suddenly seemed light.
Now, here you are. Put the bag that way around, on your shoulder, and follow me.
I'm sorry, Teddy. You can have one or the other. You can't have both. If I move off with this bag over my shoulder, I shall go round in a very small circle.
We're teaching you to play golf, right?
Right. Now, what time shall I meet you next week for the second lesson?
Try again, Harry. Mm. Once more, Harry.
I've hit it, Teddy. I've hit it. I've actually hit the ball.
Very good, Harry. Very good indeed.
Wonderful. What do I do now, Teddy?
You take it out of your turnip and try again.
How very disappointing. What am I doing wrong?
Now swing back, keep your head down, swing forward and follow through.
Right, here we go.
I didn't mean you to let go of the club.
But it's gone further than I ever hit the ball.
Now, put your ball down and get that other driver out of the bag and have one more swing.
Right. Teddy, this time.
You've hit it, Harry.
Ah, have I?
You really have.
Well, I heard something snap. I thought it was my braces.
Well, you've hit it, and I'm proud of you. Now, where did you hit it?
Please, Teddy, don't ask me. Biggest shock of my life when I looked down and found it had gone.
I know it went in the direction of those trees. Come on, it's not far. I'll take the glass.
Are you sure it went in this direction, Teddy? I wasn't aiming over here at all.
That's what makes me so certain. Yeah. Your ball went somewhere about here, Harry. Yeah. Oh, there it is. Ah, oh, bad luck, you're in a bunker.
Oh, I bet. That's hardly my fault. I mean, if they haven't got enough turf to finish the course.
That's the way they make golf courses.
Is it really? Nobody seems to care anymore.
Oh, it's in a bad position then. Oh, dear, dear me. Here, use this club here.
Yeah. Where shall I try to hit it to?
When you're in that position, Harry, anywhere's a step in the right direction. Well, the green's over here.
Ah, well, here goes.
Marvellous, Harry. You've hit it right in the air. It's going to come down right on the green. Oh, look, Harry. It's rolling towards the pin. It's in the hole. Ah. Harry, you've got it in the hole.
Good, come on. Which club do I use to get it out of there?
So that was an afternoon's golf, eh, Mr. Worth?
Oh, well, I've improved since then. Yesterday I had a score of 196.
Did you? Don't tell me you're going to try the second hole tomorrow.
Mr. Alderson?
What do you want, Mr. Worth?
I'd like you now and a new announcer next week.
Yeah. And what would you want him to say?
Those magic words that always get us out of trouble. Ladies and gentlemen, Pearl Carr, Teddy Johnson.
lovers falling for make-believe. Falling in love with love is playing the fool.
Caring too much is such a juvenile.
Learning to trust is just for children in school.
I fell in love with love one night when the moon was full. I wasn't wise with eyes unable to see.
Is such a juvenile fancy.
Learning to trust is just for children in school.
I fell in love with love one night when the moon was full. I wasn't wise with eyes unable to see.
Thank you, Pearl and Teddy. Marvellous. Well, I thought I'd better pop on just to tell you that last week I went to see the doctor. But you'll be glad to know he's all right now. But I felt out to let you know I called it his surgery. Otherwise, what follows will only confuse you. It'll probably confuse you anyway. Well, I always like to feel you're in there with a chance. Mr. Alderson, can you find us some National Health music, please?
Tell you what, this doctor's taking his time, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
I bet he's had that fella in there 25 minutes. Can you hear him keep saying 99?
Yes, I can.
What do you think he's playing at, bingo?
I don't like doctors' waiting rooms.
Neither do I. Get pneumonia just sitting here. Here, what's the doctor left this stethoscope over the back of the chair for? Here, don't tell me they're starting do-it-yourself surgeries.
I don't like stethoscopes.
Oh, they're quite harmless. Don't use them, you know. They just stick them round the necks like this just for show.
Next, please.
That's you, missus, unless I've miscounted.
You'd have a job. There's only you and me.
Ah, come in, Mrs. Bridgeport.
No right leaving a stethoscope in this waiting room. Here. Wonder if I can hear my own heartbeats.
Ah, good evening.
Oh, evening.
Ah, well, this is a bit of luck. I thought there'd be a queue. I didn't expect to find you on your own.
No, it's just the two of us.
Ah, splendid. I've decided I need a complete medical checkup.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, I suppose you'd like me to get undressed.
I would.
Oh, well, I will then.
What's the matter with you?
Eh? Oh, I was hoping you could tell me that. You're the doctor.
I'm not a doctor.
you mean you haven't qualified?
I'm a maintenance mechanic.
Oh. Well, if you pardon me for saying so, don't you think you're running a very unusual sideline?
What are you talking about? I'm a patient. The doctor's in that room.
Oh, I beg your pardon. What must you have thought of me?
Well, to be quite honest, I
thought... Yeah, no, you don't have to tell me. I think I know.
I dare say you thought I was the doctor, me having this stethoscope round my neck. Like
No, never crossed my mind. I thought it was one of those Carnaby Street ties. It's a stethoscope, isn't it?
Aye, it's for listening to a patient's chest.
My word, that's interesting. I wonder, would you mind very much if I were to listen to yours?
Sure. not at all, no. Put it round your neck and stick them two ends in your ears.
Thank you. I say, do you feel all right?
Yeah, look, mate, I'm just a bit run down, that's all.
Run down? According to this stethoscope, you've stopped altogether. Let me listen again.
Hey, look, mate, don't you try and put the wind up me. I'm just a bit off colour, that's all. I've been feeling a bit listless.
Well, there's nothing coming through this stethoscope at all. I think I ought to get a second opinion.
Well, I'll give you mine. It's bunged up.
Shall I tell you something? You have got what my Uncle Bertie had.
Oh, what did he have?
I don't know. We couldn't read the coroner's handwriting. But I give you my word. Whatever it was he had, you've got it.
Charming. What was wrong with him?
Well, it's hard. He was always dozing off. He had no energy at all.
Oh, them are symptoms, all right. I can't even stay awake to watch television.
It's exactly like my Uncle Bertie. You know, it was frightening to see him nod off during Dr. Finlay's casebook, wake up during the epilogue. And after all that, he suddenly went one night in the middle of Mrs. Thursday. Well, very sad, you know. It was only 98.
Painting a very rosy prospect, I must say.
Ah, but that's just a good thing I'm here. You see, Uncle Bertie never, never took his brimstone and black tweedle.
Didn't he?
He never took it.
I bet he died happy, though.
It's marvellous stuff. It would have you on your feet in no time at all.
Brimstone and black treacle?
Two doses after every meal. Don't take it before, you won't want the meal. Now, why don't you go round to the chemist and get some right away?
No, I'll see the doctor now, Mayor.
As you wish, I shall insist on coming in with you.
Next, please.
Oh, come on, we'd better go in.
Look, hadn't you better take the stethoscope from round your neck?
No, later, let's go in and see the doctor. Ah, here we are, doctor.
Evening.
How do you do? Oh, hello, doctor.
No, he's not a doctor. Oddly enough, I made that mistake.
No, I thought you were a doctor.
Oh, you're getting confused. He is the patient, you're the doctor, I'm the one with the Uncle Bertie.
All that apart, what are you doing with a stethoscope round your neck?
Oh, this is yours. And by the way, before you put anybody on the danger list with it, we think it's bunged up.
Look, I'm rather busy. Now, what appears to be the trouble?
Well, as far as I can gather, a lack of energy, no stamina, too tired to face up to life. You know the sort of thing. It's on the TV adverts. They give him two doses and he mows the lawn at 90 miles an hour.
Just put your tongue out.
Me?
Yes, you.
Oh, very well.
No sign of debility there.
Can you tell by looking in my mouth?
Of course.
Well, that's incredible. Could you look into his mouth and tell what's the matter with me?
I wish I knew what you were talking about. Is this gentleman with you?
Oh, no. I'm with him.
What's the matter with him?
Nah, he feels tired and listless.
He feels tired and listless?
That's right.
What is this, an epidemic?
Why do you feel tired and listless?
It won't be long now. I want to get one thing absolutely clear. Are you tired and listless?
Oh, no, you see, that was my Uncle Bertie.
But this man here, he's not your Uncle Bertie.
Good heavens, no.
Well, if he's not your Uncle Bertie, who are you?
Well, I would have thought that was obvious. I'm his nephew.
Look, just a moment. Let me deal with this gentleman here. Now then, do you speak?
Oh, yes.
Well, would you care to make a small but lucid contribution to all this?
Well, I've not been feeling too good, you see, and this gentleman spoke to me in the waiting room and said he'd come in with me.
Well, let's concentrate on you, then. Would you open your mouth?
Doctor...
Would you close yours? I see. You need a tonic.
Oh, thank you, Doctor.
Doctor, could I put a thought in your mind?
You've already done so. Unfortunately, it cuts right across the Hippocratic Oath.
All I wanted to say was brimstone and black treacle.
Good. I hope you feel better for having said it.
Well, would you consider prescribing it for my listless friend here?
I wouldn't consider prescribing it for an irregular seagull.
And very wise. You'd never get it to lick the spoon.
A What is your name?
Harry Worth.
Not yours. Yours.
Waterberry.
Take this prescription round to your chemist, Mr. Waterberry, and have it made up right away.
Excuse me, doctor, please. May I just take a peep at what you're giving him?
If you must.
Calsodmangtink. Solvitbis. Do you honestly think this will cure him?
My faith is implicit.
You wouldn't like to cover yourself with a little mixed of blimps and black trickle.
The only thing I would like is for both of you to leave my surgery.
Ah, but doctor,
now.
Look, I haven't explained about my Uncle Bertie, probably at Calson, Manktink, whatever it is. Look what happened to him. Never once did he take his brimstone and black treacle.
He wouldn't miss anything, I assure you.
He missed the end of Mrs. Thursday.
Come and see me next week, Mr. Thursday. Mr. Waterbury. Alone.
Right you are, Doctor.
Goodbye, Mr. Waterbury.
Goodbye.
Have you been struck by some sort of paralysis, or are you thinking of taking up residence?
Ah, well, you're not to know, are you, Doctor? You see, up to now, I have been accompanying Mr. Waterbury, but from here on, I'm on my own. I think there's something wrong with me.
I can give it to you in writing.
Would you like me to get undressed?
Why, you stop me in the night?
No, you see, I'm a patient. I used to be on Dr. Stringer's books. He transferred me to Dr. Graham.
Very shrewd.
Well, he said it would be nearer for me.
Would have been worth his while to move. Go on.
Well, you see, Dr. Graham treated me for German measles, and somehow or other he caught them himself. Meanwhile, I slipped a disc, got transferred to Dr. Peters. I was going to him for about 3 months. By the way, you know Dr. Peters has given up his practice.
Yes, but I've only just realized why.
Well, he gave me my medical card and suggested I should pick the newest doctor in the district.
So you picked me?
Yeah, here's my medical card. Can I now tell you what is wrong with me?
I must be the only doctor within a 25-mile radius who doesn't know. Just a moment, what's this?
Well, isn't it my medical card?
This is a reminder that your television license has expired. I can't examine you on the strength of this.
Well, my tube's going. Could you come round and have a look at that?
Mr. Worth, I think any medical practitioner worth his salt could see at a glance what's wrong with you. I want you to take this prescription round to the chemist. And in case you can't read my handwriting, yes. It's tinct of carb, vit d, ent proctil, sod mang.
Oh, that sounds marvellous. What is it?
It's brimstone and black treacle.
This has been half an hour of Harry Worth, a brand of instant confusion involving Frank Thornton, Wallace Eaton, and Harry's tuneful neighbours, Pearl Carr and Teddy Johnson. Music provided by the Jeff Alderson Sextet. The script by Ronnie Taylor. The programme produced by Bill Worsley.
Excuse me, Mr. Boyle. Yeah. Could you help me to read something out?
Oh, I'll do my best. What is it?
Well, I've composed a little gale warning. I think it's rather good.
But why do you want me to help you read it?
Oh, you see, you do them so nicely in any case. It's got a word in it that I can't... I can't say it.
Ah, you mean meteorological.
That's the one. Meteorology. That's what you say, yes.
All right, let's have a go at it then.
Go on, Mr. Boyle, you start.
All right. Here's Harry's gale warning, Fastnet and Lundy,
which was issued for 30 hours, 3 weeks, last Monday.
The Meteorological Office has said that a light breeze is blowing just off Beachy Head.
It might become windy in Dover and Seoul, and even quite gusty around the North Pole.
But don't get alarmed if you're in Finisterre.
It'll blow itself out long before it gets there.
Is that it, Mr. Worth?
That's it. Next week, the news. Thanks for listening. Goodbye, everybody.